You are Locked On Balls, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Well, would you look at that? It's Friday. It's time for another episode of Locked On Balls, a Friday edition of Locked On Balls. It's a part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Eric Kane. So glad to have you guys along for the ride. You can find me on Twitter at _Kaner. Find this podcast on Twitter at Locked On Balls. And this show, it's pretty much wherever you find your podcast, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, delivering the best Tennessee football content you can find. And I really pride myself in doing that for you guys. I got a lot of help from people outside that you don't hear about, but really prideful of this show, and I thank you guys for tuning in like you do. Got a fun show coming up here today. I'm going to go over some practice notes and observations I had from Thursday's practice here in Segment 1. Going to catch up with Brent Hubbs, VolQuest.com in Segment 2, and Mike Wilson of Knox News in Segment number 3. But before we get into that, guys, Locked On SEC. There's only one place to get all the information you need around the SEC 5 days a week, and that's with the Locked On SEC podcast. Host Chris Gordy of Sports 790 does a fantastic job. You can follow the Locked On SEC podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. So it's been practice on Monday, scrimmage on Tuesday, off day Wednesday, practice on Thursday, there'll be practice today, there'll be practice tomorrow, and I believe they're off on Sunday, I'm not really sure. So that's kind of the lay of the land, here in terms of football camp. Now, classes have already started. It's going to be a big adjustment for these guys that, you know, they're practicing in the morning. They're trying to split the day into thirds. That's what Josh Heupel told me back at SEC Media Days. It's why I like morning practices. You wake up, you get all the football you need, film, study, all that type of stuff in the morning before, you know, right at around lunch. You go to afternoon classes, and then nighttime or evening time, you have time to have a social life. And, of course, guys about to come back from a meeting every now and then. They'll come back and do stuff on their own, workouts or lifts or watch film, stuff like that. But it's going to be an adjustment for these guys because right now in camp, they've only just done football, football, football. Now, starting on Wednesday through the end of this week and from here on out, it's football and then classes. So I will be interested to see how these guys adjust to that because they've never had morning practices before. So here are some of my notes from practice officially number 13, which was Thursday morning. I saw Valus Jones. He was back getting some work in, going through the individual drills with the wide receivers. Been slowed down by a nagging injury about the last week and a half. He's missed some live action, but he was back out there today. Kamen Marley, a true freshman, was back off to the side as usual. Trinity Bell did some indoor conditioning without pads on, following some light work and individual drills with the tight ends. Again, he's not back 100%. Ollie Lane, a veteran offensive lineman right here from nearby Knox, right here in Knox County, out in Gibbs. He was off to the side with a trainer, armed with only a helmet. So it looks like maybe he's suffering from a minor injury from the scrimmage on Tuesday. Tyler Barron was also back in full pads, so that is a good sign for Tennessee's defense. So there's been no Brian Maurer, still no update on Brian Maurer. So we'll have to see exactly when there will be an update, according to Josh Heupel, but he wasn't ready to give us an update on Tuesday when he met with us. Additionally, I did not see Jimmy Callaway out there today, but I believe he's going to be just fine. He should be back pretty soon. So those are some of the roll call notes that I take at the beginning of every practice when I'm out there, just to see who's there, who's doing what, what's going on. Look at the offensive line. They were doing a lot of work at the two-man sled and working some drills where they're working on their technique, whether it be a head over, a two-eye, a shade, a one, whatever the case may be, a three, and getting rid of the technique and going upfield. It's almost like they were doing a veer block where they were, you know, dipping and ripping of sense and you know, releasing inside to go up to the second and third level. And that's what the coaching staff means by this offense, creating vertical run lanes, okay? You're taking care of your guy, and then essentially you're getting off him, going to the second level, and the guy beside you is going to come clean up your mess. And so that's kind of what the coaches mean and how I equate creating vertical run lanes in this offense. As far as the quarterbacks, I mean, they all looked about the same as they all have, you know, routes on air all fall camp to my eyes. Joe Milton looked real good, like he has all fall camp in my eyes, throwing the deep balls, throwing the slants. He did skip one up to a receiver one time. He did overshoot a receiver one time, but overall, a really, really good day for number seven out there. Hendon Hooker and Harrison Bailey, I thought they were fine, too. When looking at these guys throwing the deep balls and routes on air and stuff like that, it's evident that Bailey is third between the three when it comes to having the best arm, you know, getting the ball downfield. That doesn't mean that he can't, or that doesn't mean that he's bad at it. It's just that He's clearly third in terms of arm strength from my observations. But the order today was Milton, Bailey, and then Hooker. Wideouts, they were working a bunch of combinations of routes that included posts and seams and hitches and slant and goes. There was a drop that I saw. It came from Anderson Kobe. It was on a Milton thrown slant. The pass is a little low, but you know, Kobe got enough on it to where I believed it should have been caught. But you know, walking off the field when they were going to inside run, they were on the 20-yard line going out. They were kind of going hurry up on the ball inside run from my knowledge or from what I could take of it. I got a glimpse of what that first offense was out there, and it was at least the offense for today, but it looks like starters to me. And it was Milton the quarterback, Evans at running back, Warren at tight end, Hyatt at wide receiver, Tillman at wide out, Peyton at wide out. You had Wright at left tackle, Carvin at left guard, Mays at center, Spraggins at right guard, and Mays, that'd be Cade, at right tackle. You look over on the defense side of the football, it was tackling circuits getting things started off today. The emphasis, sideline tackling, angle tackling, open field tackling. You know, looking at some of the linebacker individual drills when I was out there, it looked like Juwan Mitchell and Jeremy Banks were really smooth going through the chutes and, you know, looked like they were really light on their feet. Coaches, as you'd expect, very vocal, very encouraging, trying to get the team to really amp things up coming off an off day. And again, this is, you know, week three of fall camp where they've had football just about every day with the exception of an off day here and there. Rodney Garner was, well, he was being Rodney Garner out there, having them redo some reps a couple of times on occasion. Very vocal, that being Rodney Garner. And had a chance to catch up with Willie Martinez, Sullen Page, Juwan Mitchell, and Roman Harrison when they met with the media after practice, and they all had some good things to say. So that was kind of my observations from practice on Thursday. Again, it's kind of you're tightening up some bolts and some screws here as then, you know, this next week, and then you're getting into game week where you'll start preparing for Bowling Green, because we are now officially just 13 days away from Bowling Green coming to town. They come on that Thursday the 2nd. So it'll be interesting. You know, Juwan Mitchell said a lot of good things. He said, hey, I'm a leader. I asked him, I said, hey, do you consider yourself a leader? He said, yes. And I was like, well, you know, coming into a new room, coming into a new coaching staff, a new program, did you step right up and start leading, or did you take a back seat and kind of let everything come to you before you try to implement yourself on them? And he said it was, you know, it was the latter. He had to take care of him first and prove that he was a strong worker and he was about it, you know, before he could, you know, gain their respect, essentially, before he could step up and lead. I thought that was a really good answer. Said that, hey, he's really excited to be in the SEC. Ask about Texas coming to the SEC. Say, hey, good for them. You know, I wanted to be in the SEC. They do too. And so found some good stuff there. Sullen Page met with the media probably for the first time in his career. Really well-spoken guy. Really impressed with him. The most interesting thing that I took away from it was, you know, he does some work behind the scenes internship-wise with the media relations department, and I think that was really, really cool. But Sullen Page, another one of those veteran guys in the linebacker room, is not ever thought of as being a main guy, but he's gotten some run a little bit over the years. I remember back in 2019 at Alabama when Daniel Batuli was still suspended for the first half, Henry Tuotua went down, and a couple of other guys, and it was, I believe it was Aaron Beasley and Sullen Page that had to get in there and finish out that first half before Daniel Batuli, or maybe Daniel Batuli was hurt, Henry T was suspended for the first half before one of those guys came back for the second half of play. So I thought, and Jeremy Banks was suspended, so you know, that was my remembrance of Sullen Page. But a guy that held the group together in spring, has been a veteran leader of this camp, and a guy that Tennessee feels like they can rely on if they have put him in the game. And another guy was Roman Harrison, and kind of a unique skill set. He says, hey, I'm going to be a pass rusher. That's what they want me to do. And so a lot of good stuff from those three guys. You can check that out at thesportsanimal.com. Have the audio and video as well as fallquest.com. So those are my notes from Thursday's practice. Again, they'll be back on the practice field today. They'll be back on the practice field tomorrow. And then I believe there's an off day on Sunday. But, of course, we will definitely recap all the stuff that we might have missed from over the weekend and on Friday on Monday's podcast. Also, The Nation on The Sports Animal. It's a Vol Network production with Chris Lowe and Austin Price, but it airs on The Sports Animal in Knoxville and, of course, the Vol Radio affiliates across the state of Tennessee and in this region. Big-time guests coming up. That's all I'll say. Big-time guests coming up on The Nation Sunday night, 6 o'clock Eastern Time. I will definitely talk about that on Monday's show, play some audio of that on Monday's show. But if you guys are about appointment listening, 6 o'clock Eastern time, Sunday night, the Sports Animal in Knoxville, Tennessee, on the WNML app, wherever you live, or you guys can check it out, you know, on the podcast. But big time guest coming up, and we'll recap that as well. All right, guys, appreciate you. We will talk to Brent Hubbs in segment number two. We will check in with Mike Wilson in segment number three. But before we get to all that, guys, got to thank our great sponsors here. Built Bar, we'll start with them. Coconut, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, German chocolate. Do you know what your favorite flavor is? If you don't, try ordering the mix box where you'll get two of each of the nine flavors. Built Bars, not only do they have great flavors and they're great tasting, but they're super healthy too. 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging from 130 to 180, only 4 to 5 grams of sugar, only 4 to 5 grams of net carbs, amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy for you. And it's a bar that looks like a candy bar, tastes like a candy bar. It's covered in 100% chocolate, but it's not a candy bar. It is a protein bar. Order today and get the grasshopper cookie or raspberry or whatever you like. Built Bar is the official protein bar of the United States track and field team. That's pretty cool, isn't it? And so today, go to BuiltBar.com, use that promo code LOCK15, or you'll get 15% off your order. Promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. And we're talking about Resident Bank, guys. We've been talking about them all week long. And the only thing more exciting than finding a new home is simply owning it. The expert at Renaissance Mortgage are here for you. They have a wide variety of mortgage options to meet your home financial needs. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or looking to finance your forever home, Heath will help you guide you. He'll help you and guide you through the process to find the right option for you. Heath has been in the mortgage industry for over 26 years and has successfully helped tens of thousands of families with their home financing. Resident Mortgage is a large enough group to offer a wide variety of products and small enough to provide custom hands-on service to their clients like a community bank. Call Heath Albritton today at 615-347-0578. That number again is 615-347-0578, or visit him online at residentbank.com. Heath Albritton, NMLS number 1964-53, member FDIC, equal housing lender. All loans are subject to underwriting and credit approval. Bank NMLS number 402-669.
I want to welcome on to the show Brent Hubbs of VolQuest.com, and does a great job. And I really enjoy working with he and Austin and Rob and Ben, all those guys. And I want to get your thoughts on just fall camp so far. I mean, we're almost the majority of the way through. It'll be game week in less than a week, less than 2 weeks until kickoff. Kind of what's your big takeaway so far of this last 3 weeks or so?
Yeah, I think for me, it's probably how far they've come defensively. And I think that's for a couple of reasons. One, I think, you know, they upgraded with the transfer market and the portal. You know, bringing in two guys at each level, I think, has helped. In the back end, I think bringing in Haddon and Turnage has helped. And then, obviously, Rodney Garner got some help on the front of the defense. And they so desperately needed linebacker help. So bringing in those guys and then just sort of seeing and hearing about how the defense has kind of grown with this veteran coaching staff that they've got. I mean, I think that's, for me, that's my biggest takeaway to this point. I don't think they're going to be great on defense, but I think they're going to be better on defense than I probably thought they would be when you looked at this team back in the summer, just because of how far they've grown. I mean, you look at a guy like Aubrey Solomon, who's lost 20, 25 pounds. I mean, he should be a better football player just simply because of that. So I kind of like the direction of this defense. It's a pretty veteran group that's got a lot of scars and warts and experience. But I think that they've kind of turned the corner and they've got a little confidence about them heading into the opener.
Still with all that growth and maturity and guys adding to different levels and everything, especially at the linebacker level, where are you on those linebackers? Specifically, you got Juwan Mitchell, and then who else? Where's Tennessee going to turn? Is it going to be Jeremy Banks? Is it going to be a player by committee? What's that linebacker room look like?
Now that's a great question. I mean, they've got some competition there that they didn't have in the spring, obviously. I think it's a hard question to answer because we don't know exactly what Tim Banks' defense looks like. You know, when Jeremy Pruitt was hired, you could look at the defense and go, okay, that's what they're going to do. Josh Heupel's hired, you can look at him offensively and go, okay, that's their identity. What's Tim Banks' defensive identity? I don't think we really know. I mean, Willie Martinez has coached in every system under the sun. He can really conform to do anything in the back end. So I don't know what they're going to be defensively. Are they going to be 4-2-5? Are they going to be in some six-man stuff? Are they going to be a traditional 4-3? Are they going to line up in a little bit of a 3-4? You know, they list Tyler Barron as an outside linebacker. I have a hard time seeing him play standing up. I think he's a hand-in-the-ground guy. Same for Byron Young and Roman Harrison. But we see him in some warm-up drills, and it looks like Barron and Harrison are doing some stuff in space. You know, so I want to see exactly how they play those linebackers. I think it's going to be hard to keep Jeremy Banks off the field if he can show him any kind of consistency because of the energy he brings. Mitchell's got so much production there. I think two guys nobody talks about at the linebacker position that are going to have a say and are going to play some snaps is what do they do with Garland, who's a guy that the previous staff liked, this staff likes, and then Aaron Beasley. Beasley was a guy who was having a nice camp till he got suspended. Where is he at now, and how do they want to use those guys in certain down and distances from a formation standpoint? So I think it'll be a little bit by committee, and it'll be a lot based on whatever scheme they want to play.
Brent Hubbs, VolQuest.com. We move over to the offensive end, and, of course, everybody wants to know about the quarterbacks. I think the assumption is, and from everything that I've heard from talking with people and seeing out there with my own two eyes, I mean, it's hard not to be impressed with Joe Milton. I think he's had a solid camp. What do you see of that quarterback spot? Do you believe it will be Joe Milton moving forward? And if so, kind of where does this offense go with him?
Well, I do think it'll be Joe based on kind of where the reps are and how things are going. I think they'll play multiple quarterbacks in the first game because I think they'll have the opportunity to do that. But I don't think they're going to go in and say, okay, third series, we're going to play a second guy. I do think it's going to be Joe's and get his feet wet and get going. I mean, here's a guy who last year in his first two outings threw for over 300 yards. So it's not like he hasn't had production before. I think his legs are going to be important. Because I think this offensive line is going to have some struggles in pass protection from time to time. I just think that's kind of what the storyline of this offensive line has been in fall camp, is they've had some moments where their pass protection probably hasn't been as good as it needs to be. So feet to get out of trouble, I think Joe Milton brings that, and the ability to stretch the field is what Joe Milton can do with that arm. The question is, can receivers get open? But I think the multi-dimensional facet of Joe Milton's game is a good bit of the reason why he's going to be Tennessee's starting quarterback.
Well, it's exciting whenever you see pictures of him, and fans would get excited seeing some highlights of him just airing it out, 50, 60 yards on a rope, but looks like at ease. And so, throwing the football to those receivers, Bayless Jones has been, hobbled by a hamstring the last week or so. He was back out there today. Didn't see Jimmy Callaway, but he's been impressive. Jimmy Holiday, Cedric Tillman's had a strong camp. Javonte Payton, there's not much experience really in that wide receiver room, but as I go down the list, I mean, there's a lot of options that if you're sitting right here where we are, Tennessee should feel pretty decent about.
I think the big question with that group is, can they get off the line of scrimmage? Can they win physical press man coverage? Can Jalen Hyatt do that? Is he strong enough and physical enough at the line to get free and allow his speed to be a factor? Same with Javonte Payton. They've got some guys that looked the part pretty good, but how physical are they going to play off the line of scrimmage to get open? I think that's the big question mark. I mean, I do. I think schematically you can scheme some things to help guys get open, but at some point in time, there's going to be a DB lined across from you in your jock. And are you going to be able to get off that press coverage? And if you go look at Tennessee through the years at receiver the last few years, they haven't won a ton at the line of scrimmage. Juwan Jennings did, no question. Callaway had some moments where, I don't know that he won a ton at the line of scrimmage, but he caught a bunch of 50-50 balls. And so I think the question is, can they win press coverage off the line of scrimmage at that position? So that's probably my biggest question mark when you look at this offense and you say, well, what are your questions about them? I think they've got a lot of bodies there and a lot of options there. I just need to see those guys be physical enough at the line of scrimmage for me.
Last thing I got for you on the offensive line, even losing all the players that lost from last year, Trey Smith, Brandon Kennedy, Jameer Johnson, Wanya Morris, all those guys, still felt good about that offensive line coming into camp. Now, one injury changes everything. K'Ron Calvert goes down. Now, in my opinion, you have three quality guards, three quality tackles, and Cade Mays counts at both. And then after that, you really need the development in order for some guys to step up and provide depth. After that group, kind of the William Parkers of the world, the Ollie Lanes, and you go down and go forth. Who were some of those guys that Tennessee's really going to need to step up here at the end of camp and provide some depth?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, they need somebody there, as you mentioned. I mean, you kind of know who their top six is, and if somebody goes down, they can move somebody. You know, for example, if a guard goes down, you're probably going to slide Cade inside, and you're going to go Dane Davis at tackle. You know, if a tackle goes down, it's probably going to be, you know, it's going to be Dane Davis as your tackle. If your center goes down, you're going to move Carvin in there, and you're probably going to slide Cade in, and then you're going to play Dan Davis. So you're, that's kind of – Dan Davis is kind of your sixth guy, and Cade's ability to play different positions, make, you know, creates depth that way. But beyond that, you know, they're in a situation where they don't need any more injuries, because I think there's a pretty good drop from that first six. And really, Dane Davis has not played. I mean, he's a guy who's, you know, drawn some praise, but he doesn't have any real experience at this point under his belt. So I think the loss of the injury to Calbert was significant. They're thin at the tackle position. I think if they had another injury at guard or a couple of injuries where they had to play that second group of guys you're talking about, you know, I think it would be just kind of play somebody till you found somebody, whoever might be hot that day or whoever, you know. I think they would rotate and kind of experiment there with that. Now, I say all that. Glenn Ellerbe stood in front of the media and said he had nine guys he felt comfortable with playing at any time.
I don't buy that.
I'm not sure who those nine are, because I don't look at them and say, well, okay, there's nine guys there. It doesn't feel like that's the case right now. So I think that there's a real unknown once you get past kind of those first six guys you've been talking about.
Again, that was Brent Hubbs, VolQuest.com. Big thanks to him for taking the time to chat with me. He is technically my boss over at VolQuest.com and a guy that I really enjoy working for and get to know a lot about. Really, really good dude. That is Brent Hubbs. Check out more of his work, my work, and all of my colleagues' works at VolQuest.com. We got Mike Wilson of Knox News coming up in segment three to talk some more Tennessee Volunteers football camp. Before we get to that, let me remind you about Bet Online. It's that time of the year again, folks. All eyes are now turning to football as teams are back on the gridiron to start the football season. As always, Bet Online is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. Get all the updated odds, props, and contests, including the $500,000 NFL Mega Contest and the $200,000 NFL Survivor Contest open now at BetOnline. Head to the website or use your mobile device. Sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. You heard that right, 100% welcome bonus. Be sure to take advantage of the opening day super promo. Make a bet on Thursday, September 9th, season opener between the Super Bowl champion Buccaneers and the Dallas Cowboys. And if you lose, your wager will be refunded up to $25. BetOnline is the fastest, easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports, from football to basketball, boxing, right up to horse racing. Don't wait. Take advantage of all the great offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline. Use that promo code LOCKEDON again for a 100% welcome bonus. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Want to welcome to the show Mike Wilson of the Knoxville News Sentinel and talk a little Tennessee fall camp. And now, hey, we're within just 2 weeks of the opener against Bowling Green. Mike, what's going on, dude?
We are getting close to that season now, man. That's happened fast. We're what? Definitely in the back half now of preseason practices too. So it's chugging along pretty quick here.
Yeah, I think we're at 13 days and, I mean, just less than a week until it's officially game week for the team. So, I mean, camp has flown by. But what's your thoughts on camp so far? You know, position battles here and there. Of course, Tennessee not yet solidified the quarterback position in terms of making it known. But kind of what's your biggest takeaway so far of fall camp?
Yeah, you know, we get to see some here and there, as you know. The main thing I noticed early on with going to some practices was the difference in feel around the team. And I don't know how much you can put stock in terms of an attitude or just a feeling around a program, but it feels like this team enjoys actually being there. We weren't at practice last year because of COVID, obviously, but the year before that, when we got to see practice, it just seemed so strict and uptight. There's just a different attitude, it seems like. And that's the main thing I noticed pretty quickly beyond, you know, the stuff we're paying attention to with players and stuff. It seemed like they were enjoying themselves a little bit more.
You know, I've said the same thing. And again, I don't know how if it's going to equate to any more wins or whatever, but it feels like this group likes playing with each other, likes being coached. It's a different feel. And then, of course, you know, it's all kumbaya now. But, you know, when Saturdays come, it can be a different story.
You know, we'll start out with the quarterback. I think it's been pretty well known, and we're, I don't know your thoughts, but at least I think the majority of people, and myself included, think from what we've seen, Joe Milton looks very impressive. He's checked all the boxes. From what I've heard, it's Joe Milton's been impressive, and it's kind of his job that he's showing out for right now. Kind of, what do you make of that quarterback spot? And saying all that, I think Hendon Hooker's had a nice camp, and I think Harrison Bailey's improved in some spots.
Yeah, it's hard. You know, we see little bits here and there. And I think the hard part too is because of Joe Milton's arm stature and the fact that he wasn't here in the spring, we're also inclined to ask about Joe Milton more than any other quarterback.
Yep.
Which, you know, I think as media members, we've kind of looked at Joe Milton, but that's also because it seems like it's Joe Milton's job. And I think, you know, going into the preseason, that was a fair conclusion because he transferred in at the end of spring football into a room with three scholarship quarterbacks, potentially four if Caden Salter had ended up sticking out here with all of that. I mean, he wasn't on the team, was then off again, but it could have been in a situation with, as the fifth scholarship quarterback, and you could have a lot of options to go somewhere with fewer players, and Tennessee bringing in someone when you've already got four other guys in that mix. To me, that says a lot about the way those coaches saw Joe Milton and the way Joe Milton was understanding his situation here. So it seemed like it was he was the favorite going in, and I don't think anything's happened to change that. To me, what's interesting now is who's the backup and does Josh Heupel play him in the opener? Because it does feel like Joe Milton's going to be the guy to take the first snap.
Yeah, and I think without a doubt you're going to see two quarterbacks against Bowling Green. And I know if Georgia State, you know, taught us anything, you can't go ahead and do that. But, I mean, Bowling Green, statistically, one of the worst football teams in 2020. So I feel fairly confident in saying that. But other position battles, some depth issues across this team. You know, overall, I think that – you know, what do you make of this? I mean, the defense was so bad, so depleted in spring. The expectations kind of been that the defense is going to suck just the entire year. But reinforcements have come. You got after the quarterback a little bit in scrimmage number one. Were we too soon to jump the gun about this defense, or, you know, is it still going to have its fair share of issues this fall?
It's such an interesting defense in that it returned the whole defensive line, essentially. It returned essentially the whole secondary. And yet the guys that returned hadn't actually been great. No. With exceptions, Matthew Butler has been productive. Latrell Bumpus, before he got hurt last year, was pretty good. Alante Taylor, I thought was underrated last season, but for the most part, all these returners haven't actually shown that they are reliable or consistent. And that to me is the question on this defense, is what level of consistency will there be? Are the additions going to make that difference? And obviously we're going to pay the most attention to linebacker, which was the position in the spring that was depleted by injuries, suspensions, bringing Juwan Mitchell from Texas, obviously a big move. I think if you can get him and Jeremy Banks next to each other, you feel good about it. But guys like Aaron Beasley and Pat Garland, like, they're in the mix too. Aaron Willis has gotten some good comments made about him after he returned to the team. And so there's a lot of guys in the mix there, but that position is very interesting because that one to me is going to make or break that defense. Because if they're good, maybe the defensive line is better. Sounds like that group has played well, but again, you returned a whole bunch of faces that have been pretty average for the most part in their careers.
And again, if the defensive line has a resurgence and it's more productive, it's going to in turn help the linebackers. It will certainly help the back end if you can get out to the quarterback. So I'm fairly confident and still staying with, I mean, hey, it's going to struggle some just because of what it is. But I do think it can make some plays. It's got playmakers and it's well coached. So we'll have to see. I don't think it's going to be as bad as we once thought it would be back in the spring, but you know, maybe it's a week-by-week type of situation. Talking with Mike Wilson, Knox News here on the show. And Mike, you look at over on the offensive end. I felt pretty good about Tennessee's offensive line despite losing Trey Smith, Brandon Kennedy, Jameer Johnson, Wanya Morris. I still felt pretty good about that offensive line, and I still can, but it's a very thin offensive line now because of the injury to Kayron Calvert.
Yeah, tackle has been the question mark with that group, certainly. But tackle also has been a question mark the last 2 years. I mean, Wanya Morris and Darnell Wright both struggled in their 2 years starting left and right tackle. So they've been up and down. But Darnell Wright, by all accounts, slimmed down, moved to left tackle, has been an upside guy, I believe is what Josh Heupel said about him. But if he can solidify himself at left tackle, that does wonders for this offensive line. I mean, that position group is still thin, but then you've got Cade Mays or Dane Davis at right tackle. And if Davis emerges as the tackle there, Mays is at right guard, which is probably his best position on the line anyway. So that would be very interesting, very productive for Tennessee. But the tackle thing is a question mark. And I'm very interested, too, in where Cade Mays lines up. If he is a tackle, so be it. But he's definitely going to be more productive at the pro level as a guard. I think that's kind of understood. And he started as a guard more often than not in his career. So, but wherever he goes, you know, they're going to throw that best five on the field line. And Cade Mays is kind of the flex guy in that decision for Tennessee.
Yeah, Cade is he certainly slimmed down. I think he's lost anywhere from, you know, maybe 15 to 20 pounds, but did so to play tackle if needed. And yeah, I'm with you. He'll play guard at the next level. He's a guard, much better, more productive at guard than he was at tackle last year. But he's good enough to play every position on the line. And so, you know, it'll be interesting to see exactly where he'll settle up. Will he play some tackle? Will he slide down to guard if Dane Davis, say, emerges week two or week three? You know, we'll have to see. Last thing I got for you, Mike, who's a player that, you know, maybe not a breakout player, but who's a guy that's going to ball out in the Tennessee offense this year?
Ooh, I think Cedric Tillman's that guy. I've been on that bandwagon for a while.
Dude, me too. Everybody's like, why are you talking about Cedric Tillman so much? I'm like, man, he's had a good camp.
Well, and that group has a lot of guys. I mean, Jimmy Callaway seems like a breakout candidate there too. You kind of know that Bayless Jones, Jalen Hyatt are probably the top two. But and I wrote it last week. Tillman's different. He's the biggest receiver. He's as far as scholarship guys go, he's tied for being the tallest at 6'3", and he's the heaviest. I think he's 215, 220. Yeah. So he's different. And Cody Burns made a comment about having a guy like him at the last place. He obviously was talking about Seth Williams, who is an absolute beast of a playmaker in the red zone. I think fourth round, fifth round pick on the NFL draft. And that's a guy that Cedric Tillman has a skill set comparable to. So that to me is the pick. You look back at what Heupel did at UCF. He had a guy just like him. I think Gabriel Davis was a fourth round pick in the NFL too. Had about 2,000 yards in his two seasons under Heupel, 20 touchdowns, and almost the same body type. So that's a guy that can be productive in this offense. And I think he's going to be.
All right, Mike, where can our listeners here follow your work?
You can find me on Twitter at By Mike Wilson. That's BY Mike Wilson. And then Knox News and GoVolsExtra.com.
Again, Mike Wilson of the Knoxville News Sentinel. Big thanks to him for taking the time, stopping by, and giving his thoughts on Tennessee football camp. Like he said, follow his work on Twitter and at KnoxNews.com. Hey guys, that's going to do it for a Friday show. We've had a lot of great guests on, a lot of content, breaking down Tennessee football camp, the scrimmages. It's been a whole lot of fun. And now that we're done with Locked On Vols for the week, go ahead and check out Locked On Bets. Hey, betting on college football, it doesn't have to be a guessing game anymore. All you got to do is listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get your daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's Lock of the Day. Follow Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag. It's wherever you get your podcast. Guys, I've enjoyed it. Thank you so much for tuning in. Let's have another great week next week. Until then, have a safe weekend. Enjoy the rest of your Friday, everybody.